This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort. Well, season's greetings. Welcome in to episode 18 of the Inferno Podcast. I'm your host, Landrum Roberts. Got a lot of exciting things in store for you today. But as always, our rundown is brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. Well, coming up, we're going to recap and look ahead to some things happening within the women's and men's basketball programs. Also, we'll have a visit with head men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy. Athletics director Mark Ingram stops by in a very special Christmas edition of our lightning round, where AK and Mark will go head-to-head to test their Christmas trivia knowledge. All of that and much more. It's the Inferno Podcast.
As UAB athletes, there's nothing we like more than the roar of the crowd.
Around here, we say we win as one.
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 And to keep cheering for the green and gold,
there's one thing we need from you.
Ask your doctor about an RSV vaccine.
And help protect everyone,
our littlest Blazers and our most seasoned fans, are most at risk from RSV.
Ask about your RSV vaccine today.
So we can all stay in the game.
And win as one.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Glad you're with us. A lot of fun things to talk about today. But as always, our weekly update is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health to help protect all UAB fans. Ask your doctor about your RSV vaccine today so we can all win as one. Well, it was an exciting Sunday at Bartow Arena as the women's and men's basketball teams were in action. First up was the women and Coach Randy Norton and the Blazers. They got it done as they hosted Alcorn State. You had three Blazers in double figures. Jade Weathersby went for 16 points, 12 rebounds, a double-double for Jade. Also, Sarah Bershears, who joined us on the podcast last week with her sister Tracy, she contributed 13 points, and Journey Armstead with 10 points to close things out 76-51. UAB now 6-3 on the season. They travel to Normal, Illinois to take on Illinois State coming up on Friday with the tip-off at 6:30. Meanwhile, the UAB men, they were in action on Sunday afternoon, and they welcomed in a very good Arkansas State team. First half, well, it told the story of UAB being able to shoot the ball really, really well. Seven threes as a part of that first half. Yaxel Lindeborg, another double-double, 22 points, 12 rebounds. You had other Blazers contributing like Tyron Moore, Jabori McGee. Moore goes for 22 points on Sunday. McGee adds 10, but the second half told a different story. The Blazers were able to push the lead out to 27 points, but a very good Red Wolves team, they shot it, well, quite the opposite of the way that they did in the first half. Late in that game, Arkansas State was able to take the lead. Yaxel Lindeborg with a dunk in the closing seconds forced overtime. But in the end, it was too much. Arkansas State, 98-89. UAB falls on the season to 5-6. And coming up next on Sunday at Bartow Arena, tip off at 2 o'clock, they will welcome in Alcorn State. Well, coming up next, we're going to visit with UAB men's head basketball coach Andy Kennedy as the Inferno Podcast continues. Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast, a holiday edition. Landrum Roberts along with UAB head men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy. As always, the Coach's Corner is brought to us by our friends at Pepsi and Viva Health. Well, Coach, first of all, Merry Christmas.
I feel like the Grinch a little bit. What? I mean, I hate to when I walked in, I just felt this Grinch vibe.
You don't strike me as the Grinch. No.
I've been a little Grinchy the last
What's few better? Years. Would it be better to be Scrooge or the Grinch? Because I feel like both, they kind of came around in the end. Spoiler alert for anybody who's never seen that.
I think
that.
Grinch had a little more fun than the Scrooge, so I would choose Grinch if I had a choice.
All right, well, let's dive right into it. Sunday, let's talk about the positives first. First half, you played great basketball. Part of a 30-3 run, you're able to push the lead over Arkansas State to 25. Shot it pretty well. As I'm sitting there watching that game, I'm thinking, well, AK, he's got to be happy with seven made threes in the first half. Everything seemed to go you guys' way. Yaxel Lindeborg doing what he did. You saw Tyron Moore and making those contributions. But the second half, it told a different story. But I want to first focus on the first half. Your thoughts, was that about as well as you think you guys could play at this point in the season?
Well, let me go back. You know, we had a whole week off. We were in finals. As we discussed in the earlier rendition, there is an academic component still to collegiate athletics.
I keep forgetting.
So we're off all week for finals. So we had really – we dug into Arkansas State because they had to play – they beat Memphis in Memphis handily, really led tap to buzzer in the FedEx Forum. And so if we needed to get our guys' attention, that certainly got it. Then they had to play the Thursday prior to our Sunday game at home against Texas Arlington, and it was a battle, and they won a close basketball game. So we had a competitive advantage in that for 5 days, our focus was on Arkansas State. It was on us getting better. And I honestly, sometimes, and again, it's the reason you really can't read a lot into these things. I've had many, many practices leading into games where I thought, man, we were awful. One comes to mind. And I'll get back to the story, but one comes to mind. Well, I was at Ole Miss, and we were filming. The SEC would go around at that time and do a behind the scenes. I don't even know if they still do it. Maybe they do, but they would do a behind the scenes with each team leading into a game. We weren't playing great at the time, and they came in for a 24-78 hour period or whatever it was for us. Leading into our home game against Mississippi State. So it's obviously a lot of tension in that game regardless. We're not playing great. And so they're following us around. I got to be really careful in what you're saying. And they're just everywhere. You want to give them access because it's a great opportunity for your program. And we were awful in practice. I mean, to the point where literally if they weren't there, I may have burned the building down.
Did you punt a basketball at any point?
It was terrible. And then we go out that the next day and we beat Mississippi State by 27. So you can never really judge too much
right.
Until you start these games. But I thought going into practice, I could not have been more pleased with what we had accomplished throughout the course of the week. I felt like we were in a great headspace. I felt like we were prepared. We started the game as such, made shots, really, really disruptive in our defense. Our 1-3-1 bothered them. And they really didn't have any life. Now, as we were ending the half – honestly, I was walking back with my assistants, and we felt like we left about 6 or 8 points on the floor. Just things that we didn't finish. We allowed them to have a couple of baskets. So you go in, you're up 25, you try to refocus on a new 20 minutes, let's win the half. And then the thing just went completely off the rails. It wasn't just one thing. When you watch the tape, it was just a combination of everything. It created a perfect storm, quite frankly. We were inefficient offensively, allowed them to get out in the open floor. When you don't score offensively, you really can't change your defenses, so it limits the coach's ability to, quote-unquote, manipulate the game defensively. And then we just could not get a stop. And then when we did, they had 15 big offensive rebounds. We could not secure the ball. It was like, Keystone Cops. A couple of times we get the ball and just throw it to them. We had a couple of pick sixes with just unforced errors, and the thing gets away from you.
Yeah. You knew how talented this Arkansas State team was, and you mentioned it in their resume coming in. Did you ever feel super comfortable? And I know that sounds horrible because coaches are never comfortable, and you've got to play 40 minutes of basketball. But having a 25-point lead at intermission, did you feel like, you know what? I can see us coming out and handling our business, or they make a run. You don't think like that.
No, you can't. I just think we're trying to win 4 minute segments. We broke it down to 4 minutes, so you know every 4 minutes there's typically a media. So the first 4 minutes actually like 17 and change. We were plus two in the half, so we were plus 27. For those of you who may have read this, I just saw it on Twitter, so obviously it's got to be true. I think it's the biggest comeback allowed since 2018 in college basketball. That's not a record that you want to be a part of, but
no.
That just shows you how unusual it is to give up such a lead in such a traumatic fashion. The things that I thought turned for us, we had their two best players. They have the preseason player of the year in their league, and they have an all-league guard leading them. Those guys got in early foul trouble, so they were not really in the flow offensively. In the second half, in my mind, thinking as a former player, I'm like, these guys are really super aggressive. They didn't really play that much in the first half. They're going to come out and try to set the tone, even for themselves. And I don't know the kids. I'm not trying to speak disparagingly. But even for themselves, just to go get numbers. Good players want to get numbers.
Right.
They don't really play the scoreboard. Good players are always playing the game. And they always want to go and put their impact on the game. So I was fearing that a little bit out of those two guys because they hadn't had the opportunity like they normally do in the first half. And lo and behold, it happened. One of them scored six straight, and the other one got going. And then we just could not respond. And again, it wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just one guy. It was a total collapse.
They shot close to 60% in that second half, which was – quite the opposite of what happened. Was that more about what you guys were doing defensively? And you mentioned the zone in the first half, or was that just one of those afternoons where good shooting teams are going to have off nights?
Well, they're going to score some points, but for us, we don't play with enough force. I've said that publicly, and I don't know a better way to describe it. I hate being redundant, but I don't know a better way of describing it. We don't play with enough force defensively. We allow teams to get too deep on us. Yeah. It's almost like we're constantly losing the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And when you constantly lose the line of scrimmage, you're going to be backpedaling. You're going to be in a response mode constantly. And you can't play basketball that way. And I just cannot get us to play with more force. It seems like we're always reactionary as opposed to being connected, which is what you want. And imposing your will on that end of the floor.
I've been a part of it in competitive sports and being on teams, and I know that you have, but it seems like when that momentum and that snowball starts rolling, it is really, really tough to stop. What did you notice as far as body language from your team as Arkansas State was continuing to mount that?
We're not a super confident group, and I honestly think – again, just being honest, I have seen it since the Vermont loss. We haven't really gotten our swag, but you got to win games. I've said this before. If I had the ability to distribute confidence, I certainly would not be sitting here today talking to you. I'd be in Vegas somewhere,
sure.
You know, headlining at about $90 a night.
I was thinking more like Tony Robbins.
Well, I just confidence is demonstrated ability, and you know, I might can fool you here in the next 20 minutes and. You can certainly fool me. I'm gullible. But you can't fool yourself. And I think that we have this false bravado that okay, what's going on? You know, I've said it before. It's like when the emperor has no clothes. It's like this exposure of, man, this is not gone the way that I want it to go. That's obvious to everybody. I've never been 5-6 through 11 games in my 18 years of doing this. But I do know that if we don't learn from what has happened in the past and don't make the necessary changes, then no one's going to help you up. I've also learned that sports, when you're down, I am yet to see someone reach down, an opponent meaning, and say, hey, man, Leonard, let me help you up, man. I know you've had a tough day.
Right.
It's not going to happen, man. You got to dig yourself out.
I know that you have to be careful, especially this day and age, not you specifically with just your team, but it's coaches all across America. How do you address your team after something like that?
Well, you've got to be honest. I'm a terrible loser. I think all winners are bad losers. Gene Bartow, I played for the legend, and coach was not a cursor, and he was pretty mild-mannered, except in those games. He was the worst loser I've ever been around.
Really?
Yeah, and I've been around Jim Balvano and Bob Huggins and this guy and that guy. It's not even close. Gene Bartow was by far the worst loser I have ever been around, and he let you know it. You felt it. I think I don't believe, and I know this is probably not up to the 2024 standard, but I don't believe you can go around in a celebratory mood after what just happened to us. I think we have to, number one, we have to acknowledge all of our responsibilities and how that happened. Number two, we have to accept it, even though we don't want to, but we have to accept that it happened, and now we have to act. What is it? Faith without action is dead. We have to act. We have to put into play in practice yesterday, in practice today, the things that we need to do that we've learned from, not just from that game, but from through our first 11 games. What do we need to do to ultimately, our goal is ultimately to be the best version of self, and we've got to work towards that.
Well, you won't know until you get back out on the floor and get into your next game, but the psyche of this team, where is that after being on the mountaintop for a half of basketball and then seeing it unravel before your very eyes and getting to overtime and then the ebbs and flows of emotion, then eventually you fall in OT?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, I know that players bounce back from disappointment a lot quicker than coaches do. It's human nature to do what when things go wrong? What's the first reaction in human nature? To blame and to say it's someone else's fault. So you have to understand that. That's nothing other than human nature. And you've got to be disciplined enough to examine. We had a good day yesterday. We'll have a good day today. And again, luckily, the good thing in basketball is that when you're not playing great, you get opportunities. You don't have to wait a week like you do in football. The bad thing is when you're playing great and you'd like to absorb some of that, you got to turn around and play again the next day. So we've got opportunities two more prior to the Christmas break, and we need to take care of our business.
We continue our visit. Head men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy here on the Inferno podcast. You mentioned that we've got Alcorn State coming in to Bartow on Sunday.
We've got Alabama A&M on Wednesday. Of course, this will not air then, right?
That's correct.
So that was my mistake.
Well, that's fine.
It's live television. Hey, she can edit that out.
Thinking like a coach, and it's right there, and you take them one at a time, and you're just thinking about the game that you have.
Well, I'm thinking about it.
On that particular day that you were talking about, that you're referencing. But on Sunday, it's going to be a fun atmosphere inside of Bartow Arena, a 2:00 tip off. But then you have the NCAA mandated. Is it 3 days that you're required to have? Should I have asked that on live?
I think it is. I think you have to give them 3 days. We'll give them a little more than it. We have a little longer break. We play the 22nd, and then we don't play again till we open league play on December 31st. So if you're not doing anything New Year's Eve, join us in Denton, Texas. I think it's like 3 or 4. I mean,
wanted to do New Year's Eve in Denton.
I think it's going to be a big party.
I think it should be a whole lot of fun. Do you guys do anything as a team? I know that the kids will go.
We'll give them time. They'll all go their separate ways, and we'll reconvene.
We have Dirty Santa, anything like that? Anything fun?
Again, no, we don't do a lot of that.
No?
The fun for us is spelled W-I-N.
I think I knew the answer.
Yep.
We continue with head men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy here around the holidays, and you're getting ready. And then ahead, you're thinking, all right, we've got conference play that's coming up. You mentioned, you know, Denton and North Texas as you open up American play. But for your team, and now through 11 games, what is the goal now? What's the next? Obviously, it's to get a win. It's to play better. But what do you want to see for your team before conference play begins?
I want us to get better. I want us to establish an identity that we have the discipline to stay to. We have shown capable. We now have to take a step, and I think it's all discipline. We have to take a step from a disciplinary standpoint to stay true to our formula. And a lot of times, I said it last time we were together, no one really likes hard things, but we have to embrace hard, and we have to understand that is the way through. You know, what is holding you back ultimately is what is going to free you. And for this group, if we don't understand that by now, then I think we've got bigger problems.
Is tenacity, is aggressiveness, is that something that's
fortitude?
Sure. I mean, having good old fashioned guts, right?
Yeah.
But is that something that you can coach, tenacity? You can say it all you want. Is there anything that you can do drills wise? I don't know.
Well, I think it's it's the most overused word in sports is what? Culture. I think it's a culture thing. Meaning, it's how you do your daily work. I'm a believer in how you do anything is how you do everything. And, you know, if you are leading an inconsistent life off the floor, you're not going to be a consistent player. If you kind of half-ass your way through certain aspects of life and then you want to be really diligent in this area, it doesn't work that way. You've got to really be locked in, and that's one of the responsibilities. One of the reasons that I enjoy what I'm doing. It's my job to teach them not only this is what it takes. You know, Nick Saban, one of the all-time greatest. You know, always said it takes what it takes. You know, everybody thinks they got all these options. You really don't have all these options. It takes what it takes if you want to be successful. And so it's my job to teach them that, and then that ain't enough. I got to teach them how to do it.
You ever thought maybe just not being so nice because you're so nice to your team? Maybe they would toughen up a little bit if you would just.
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue, but I'm looking for some answers, but I'm not sure that would be on the list.
All right, Coach, we're going to celebrate Christmas, holidays, you and your family. Anything special that's planned?
No, you know, my daughters now, I've got a 28-year-old Megan and a 24-year-old Caitlin, you know, so they're adults, quote unquote,
right.
And they've got their own things. And so it's just an opportunity for us to get together and, you know, no basketball, no practice. It can really be about family for 2 or 3 days.
Any particular traditions? You do anything Christmas Eve? Is it a church thing?
We do that.
A particular movie?
We do that. You know what? We always try to find some things. And I'm probably, again, the Grinch. And I'm like, we have to do that again. But it's just kind of something, you know, because now my kids are grown.
Yeah.
They're not. But we kind of stay to a little bit of a routine. A lot of it is dependent upon my schedule and how well we have played and whether or not I'm going to be as jolly as I can be. And can I be jolly for a longer than a 10-hour period? It depends on
how much wine do you have?
Well, that and how the Blazers have played recently.
Is there a go-to Christmas food for Andy Kennedy?
No, my wife does a great job. She'll prepare the whole thing. We'll go above and beyond as always, and everybody will do what everybody does. You know, overindulge.
Oh my gosh,
which is tis the season.
I don't know why it took me 44 years of life until last year when I realized how much dairy I was consuming at Christmas. Just how much cheese.
Yeah,
and that is no way to start a new year.
No,
mm-mm.
Depends on your perspective, I suppose.
Well, that's a lot of elliptical.
Yeah,
it's a ton of elliptical, Coach.
Yeah.
All right, we do have some Christmas trivia. You going to hang out with us?
Sure.
All right. Coach Andy Kennedy, we continue the holiday edition of the Inferno Podcast.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
Welcome back into the holiday edition of the Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts continue to be joined by UAB men's basketball coach Andy Kennedy, UAB Director of Athletics, Athletics Director, however you prefer. Mr. Mark Ingram, do you prefer one or the other, Director of Athletics?
I've been called a lot of names, and that's not either one of those are good.
Okay. Merry Christmas, first of all.
You, yeah, happy holidays, brother.
We do have some trivia. I do want to ask you, because you're both parents, Santa comes, but there's also a responsibility of parents for some other gifts that Santa can't fit on the sleigh to put those things together. Can you guys, first, Coach, you, most miserable toy putting together?
I'm not good at any of it.
I suck at it. I'm awful.
Big, small. I said earlier I had two daughters, and growing up, there was a lot of dollhouse construction going on the 24th late at night. And, you know, you battle it, because you have this personal pride. You got to get this done for your daughter. And at the end, man, you feel really good about it, and you look over there on the side, and there's still about seven pieces, and you're thinking, man, that was nice of this toy company just to have these extras.
Right.
Because there's no way these are really, they're not needed.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, thankfully my father would come in and save the day.
I don't have the patience. That's just it. I don't have the patience. And then I get aggravated and there is the possibility I could break the toy.
Yeah.
So I don't get asked to do that. What about you, Mark?
Well, I've got two boys and two girls. Yeah, a lot of dollhouses. Barbie Dreamhouse was horrible. And I remember a plastic kitchen. I remember one particular Christmas. And
was it like the Easy Bake? Easy Bake Oven type?
No, that's sort of a thing, yeah.
Okay.
And at the end, Andy, like, these seven screws, this thing over here, is that safe? I don't know.
You know, non-weight bearing.
And I had to put together an outdoor playset once.
Oh.
That was the worst. Oh. That was the absolute worst. And that was what made me. One year there was a trampoline involved, and we hired that out
because
of the.
If you are right now watching this, listening to this,
moms and dads,
trampoline is in the plans, you need to hire
moms.
You'll lose
dads.
Friends, you'll lose families, divorces. This is how it happens.
Yeah.
Putting together a trampoline.
The kingdom will fall apart if you try to do that by yourself. I don't know why. Listen, my children are just a little younger than Andy's. My oldest is 23, youngest is 16. And if you do not believe, you do not receive. That's, we still play that game in our house.
Oh,
and
believe in what? Believe in
you better believe
being
in
the stocking?
Listen, don't try to ruin it for everybody is the game. So we're still, my wife and I still stay up way too late watching bad Christmas movies or whatever we can come up with our favorite. You know, maybe Christmas Vacation is on to keep a little humor going while we're taping. And my wrapping job is kind of like that, with some stuff on with some tape.
I'm a big fan of the gift bag and a lot of tissue paper.
A lot of gift bags.
It's really hard to screw that up, but I can't wrap either. I don't have the patience to wrap.
Yeah. I always have a little strip on the back where I got to put another piece of paper on that thing to cover up. I didn't measure it quite right. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. We need to start, Landrum, is the problem. We wait too long. We wait too long.
Yes, we do. And I enjoy the brick-and-mortar store and getting out there and the hustle and the bustle and last-minute shopping. I enjoy that. I know that with your schedule, you do a lot of online, but I like getting out, and the sights and the sounds kind of takes me back to my childhood.
Everybody loves Christmas. I mean, when you kick that Christmas music on, it gives you a warm and fuzzy. But, I because I've just been in this profession and in this business my entire adult life, Christmas just hits different for me. I can't really people say, and we put our tree up, my wife is a fanatical, and as soon as Thanksgiving hits, it's up, we're gonna get that tree up. And so I see it every day, and it's kind of pretty as I go and come, but I don't really sit down and get into the Christmas vibe until about halftime, 48 hours in.
Maybe that's your message to your team for Sunday's game. Guys, don't ruin Christmas for my family.
Yeah.
Go out there and give them hell for 40 minutes, right?
Yeah, I don't. I think they've got other things on their mind. I appreciate the thought, but I'm not sure that's what I'm going
to
use.
I'm trying to help anything I can do.
Something about Instagram. Maybe there's something that would influence their number of followers. That would help.
Yeah. TikTok.
We do have some holiday trivia. And these are really tough questions. They're multiple choice, and so we'll kind of go back and forth and let you two test your knowledge of...
Oh, it's a contest?
Holiday trivia. Yes, it's a contest.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to both of us.
Good luck to both of you. This is part of our lightning round. Here we go. Question number one. In the 1964 classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what was the name of Rudolph's faithful elf companion? Was it A, Henry, B, Barney, C,
Hermie,
or was it D, Simon?
I got no idea. I like Hermie. It's an unusual name. Let's go there.
Hermie?
Like that one, but I went D, Simon.
Coach, look at you. It is Hermie.
What?
Yeah.
Hermie.
That's
right from the seat of my pants. That's where I do my best work.
AK is on the board.
I've never heard that before. I thought...
Maybe Hermie.
Maybe if I had a son, I'd have a Hermie.
That's a claymation, right? And I'll be honest with you, that kind of freaks me out.
Hermie Kennedy would have been.
Have you ever heard that before? I mean, I've never heard Hermie.
No, I guess that's like short. If you got a buddy named Herman.
In 64, I guess it was popping. You know, it's like there's a lot of Jordans now after Michael Jordan. There's a lot of Peyton, Peyton Mannings. There's a lot, a lot of Brady's, Tom Brady. Yeah. I guess in 64, Hermie had something going on.
I have no idea where it came from. All right, question number two. Hanukkah usually starts on the 25th of Kislev. Did I say that right?
Mm.
Okay. A date that varies in the Gregorian calendar. Hanukkah is also commonly known as the festival of A, trees, B, lights, C, love, or D, God.
Lights, right?
Lights.
It is lights. Correct. All right.
Ding, ding.
Mark and AK.
Oh, you're keeping track.
I'm yes. And for the folks at home, AK is leading 2-1.
Yeah, he is.
Shout out to Hermie.
Shout out to Hermie.
That may be our new thing. You know, sometimes as a coach, you know, you get in at the end, hey, it's going to break.
Yeah.
And you're going to say together or play hard or whatever. Champions. Or whatever you say. I like it.
Coach is tripping.
We're starting to warm up. Now we're starting to warm up.
I kind of like it.
All right.
There's been some value in this question. Last 30 minutes.
I guess. Hermie on three. Question number three. In the infamous holiday box office smash Die Hard, what chauffeur is sent to pick up Detective John McClane? Is it A, Moray, B, Angus, C, Argyle, or D, Fife?
Are you going to ask my boss first one time? I mean, there's all the pressure on me.
I will.
This is a total guess. I'm going B, Angus.
You're going B, Angus.
Don't tell the answer yet.
Okay.
And I should know this. I'm a big Bruce Willis fan.
You consider that a Christmas movie?
Die Hard.
It's considered to be, though. Yeah. People call it that. Why?
Yeah, because I think it was released on Christmas.
And they were having the Christmas party when
But I think it also was a, you know, back
Nakahura
in the
Tower.
Back in the day when hijacked. People would go to the movies. Do you guys still do that?
When last Friday.
Goodness. When people would go to movies, it was like we would do that way back when.
Good partners at AMC Theaters.
Would be released, you know, on Christmas Day, and maybe that's what it is, Die Hard.
We use it as a date night because my wife enjoys it. We went and saw, it was an 8 o'clock start time, too, of a 2-hour and 40-minute movie, Wicked, last Friday night. I made it through 2 hours and 33 minutes.
My family goes to movies.
I just don't know how it ends.
I don't do it. I'm going to go Fife. I have no idea.
You're going to go Fife. All right, both of you are incorrect. The correct answer is Argyle. Argyle. I love good pair
of Argyle socks. I thought you were going to pick Fife or Argyle because of Hermie. I thought you were going to go Fife or Argyle.
I just went Fife. I went with my gut, man.
That's a good guess.
Barney.
there it is.
This okay. Next one is
Argyle socks. What else is Argyle? Is that the name, really?
Argyle
socks, right?
Yeah.
I don't even really know what that means.
Roy Williams, he wore a lot of Argyle, it seems like.
The Tar Heels wear Argyle on their uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a bad look.
Is it the same spelling for the socks in the name?
I think it is. Mm-hmm.
All right.
In some regions of the country, they pronounce it Argyle. No, they don't. Question number four. Twas the Night Before Christmas was originally published under what name? Was it A, A Visit from St. Nicholas? B, Father Nicholas Arrives. C, The Night of St. Nicholas. Or D, Snowy Eve of Christmas.
Holy cow, no shot, man. C. That's what I always did in the ACT. They would say, you know, stay in the middle two rows in the ACT.
Yeah.
You know, stay off A and D, go B, C. I'm going C.
So you're going C, The Night of St. Nicholas. What about you, Mark?
I'm gonna switch. I'm gonna go A, Visit from St. Nicholas.
Look at Mark Ingram. He has now tied it up. It is A Visit from St. Nicholas.
It's like a banked in 3-point. I needed one of those Sunday.
That's very much.
I mean, just bank it in, man. You know, there's a thing called luck factor in these computer breakdowns.
Right.
And again, I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm not an excuse maker, but there's 363 teams in Division I basketball. You know what our luck factor has been this year? 362.
No way.
Yeah.
Who's had worse luck?
I don't remember.
Do you remember?
I don't care. Hermie, maybe.
Hopefully they're on the schedule.
Not doing well.
Dude, I mean, and that's a lot of different things. Sometimes it's a number of different factors. I didn't mean to hijack it. But
no,
it's
fine.
I was just saying.
Is that part of Ken Palm?
Yeah.
He has that, really?
Yeah.
Luck.
You got to dig in there a little bit.
I still occasionally will talk about an interview that I remember Bobby Bowden gave. They had won the national championship, whatever, 90 or 91 or something, and he was being asked about a repeat. And he said, he goes, you know, you got to have three things to have a great team. He goes, you got to have great coaches, and those great coaches got to go get great players. And he goes, but something nobody ever talks about, you got to have is a lot of luck. He goes, because that ball's going to hit the ground. It might hit your foot and go this way. It might. And in his case, he was talking about football, and he goes, it's not round. And that thing hit here and go there, and maybe it comes into my arms. Maybe it goes into your arms. And he goes, and you can't control that. And he goes, that's a lot more out there than you realize.
And you can, and I'm not, so true. I hate, you know, it's a normal thing. It's almost like Hermie, hey, break down together on three. you come up to somebody and what do you say? Hey, good luck.
Yeah.
I hate saying that, but I don't really know what else to say. I went for a while and was like, be well, or, but then I felt like, man, am I, a priest? I
mean, salutations. Be well,
rabbi?
My child.
I mean, I got off that. It just didn't feel natural. But I'm looking for something else because I'm not a big believer in luck. I think fate. I would rather say fate than luck.
Fate. Yeah.
But,
karma.
I believe in it.
Yeah.
Karma. Do. The universe, the whole thing.
It's cosmic.
Find your frequency. I'm into all that, dog. Five and six, we are not on our, we have not found our frequency.
You need more Hermie.
I'm going to give it a shot.
What would Bob Marley say that you need?
Bob Marley?
Yeah, Bob, what would Bob Marley, not Hermie Marley, but Bob, Bob's cousin Hermie, but Bob.
You know, Bob Marley lived in a constant state of irie, man.
Right.
You know, you got to be where you feel.
Irie up your life or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't say that. But
something like that.
Yeah, lively up yourself.
Lively up yourself.
But irie is just being at peace in the constants in your where your feet are, where you are present.
Right.
You know, don't try to fight it. Ego wants to make you dwell in the past. Pride makes you want to think about the future. But you need to focus on the present.
Grow or you're planted.
Okay.
You ever use that one?
Yeah.
Bloom. My bride says bloom where you're planted.
Bloom where you're planted.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's a little more eloquent than grow.
We got a lot of test questions here.
Yeah, we did.
Speed.
Question number 5. In the Muppet Christmas Carol, who played Scrooge? Ooh, was it A, John Houseman, B, Anthony Hopkins, C, Jack Nicholson, or D, Michael Caine?
Man, I should know this. I've had to have seen every Muppet. You know it. I don't. Let me go first.
I mean, it's the most comfortable, most confident guess that I have.
I don't even know who John Houseman is.
I have no idea either.
I'm big Anthony Hopkins fan. Jack Nicholson is my favorite actor of all time.
Really?
Yeah, love him.
He's awesome.
I just think he's the. I just think he's the man.
Anthony Hopkins, and I had forgotten.
And I think Michael Caine.
That he narrated The Grinch, the 99 Jim Carrey, The Grinch movie. That was Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah. So it's not Jack. I would know that. It's either Michael Caine or Anthony Hopkins. No real shot. I'm going Michael Caine.
Me too.
Both of you.
I'm going Caine.
Are correct. It is Michael Caine. All right, so Mark and AK.
That's sometimes people want to know, man, you know, when I talk about changing rotations, that's sometimes how I do it. I just eliminate. Well, he's not playing very good, man. I hate his attitude. He doesn't play hard enough. He won't block anybody out. Okay, you get in. So sometimes that's how I do it. That's how I got to Michael Caine.
There's a method to the madness. Yeah. There's coaches right now taking notes, going, well, I heard it from Coach Kennedy. Must work. Question number 6.
If I miss this one now, Elf. You'd said Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
A classic.
Yeah, right.
We can all watch it.
The squirrel
in the tree, still funny.
Yeah.
Aunt Mavis with her hair on. I mean, still funny. But Elf?
Got blashing.
Do you watch Elf?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one.
You do, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one you can watch 25 times and still get a chuckle.
Yeah, I know. We know the answer to this one.
All right.
Put a lot of confidence coming
in the movie Elf, according to Buddy. Which one of these four is not one of the major food groups? Is it A, candy corns, B, candy canes, C, gumdrops, or D, syrup?
C, gumdrops.
I'm going candy corn.
Are you really?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Dude, you really?
I don't know the answer.
You don't know the answer to this one?
You're bragging on that?
Come on.
No, I don't know the answer. I mean, I don't.
You're starting to get
gumdrops is not in it?
We're separating now.
No, gumdrops is not. It's candy corns, candy canes, syrup. Molly, what was the other one? There was something else, but just candy.
So that gave it away.
He had a bit of a sweet tooth.
I had no idea.
We're 2.5 laps into the mile, Coach. You got some catching up to do.
Come on, Coach.
Quick. Right,
here we go. Question number 7. What year did the North American Aerospace Defense Command, also known as NORAD, begin tracking Santa's sleigh? Was it A, 1950, B, 1955, C, 1960, or D, 1962?
60.
Very confident with that answer.
I guess. I say with what I 62. I don't know.
You're both incorrect. It was 1955.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Question. NORAD?
Yeah, what is that?
What is that? Okay.
Question number 8. In the classic It's a Wonderful Life. What was the name of George Bailey's angel? Was it A, Willie Wings, B, Clarence Oddbody, C, Austin Angel, or D, Allen Angel?
Clarence Oddbody.
I was going to say the same thing.
Because of Hermie? Is this well, related to Hermie?
I just want to stay with the uncommon.
So, Mark and AK, we're going to give you both that one. Because he said he was going to say the same thing.
He says
we
he
just
was.
Have to. We have to, have, we no, have to take him at his word. We have to take him at his word.
No, I just wanted to go with the strangest name.
Clarence Oddbody.
What, have you ever recruited a player named Clarence Oddbody?
Recruited a Clarence. We had a Clarence at UAB, Clarence Thrash. He played after me. He was a good player, low post player. Wish I had him the other day. Could throw it to him in the box. Left-handed, could get to his spot. Atlanta kid, good player. I had a kid, Clarence Sanders, when I was at Ole Miss. Got Ole Miss. My first year, he led us and scored.
Yeah.
All-league player. That's another reason I'm always drawn to the Clarence, because they've been good to me.
At the end of the season, though, if there's a guy that enters the portal and his name's Hermie, you got to get him.
No question.
Yeah. Hermie reminds me of Hermes, like an expensive back thing for women. Or is it a cologne?
Hermes. Molly says yes.
Yeah. Hermes was the messenger god.
Hmm. Oh, deep. What?
Yeah, if that's 5 years of Latin, you get that. Yeah, Hermes was the messenger god, also known as Mercury.
Mm. Also, Mercury, the planet?
Same.
Yeah, got it.
My head hurts. 5 years of Latin?
Yeah, 8 through 12. Wow. Latin club president, Brookville High School. You didn't know this? Come on, man.
No.
Yeah.
That's.
I was a horrible student, but I was able to hang on because there were really smart kids around me.
Wow. You have to be able to, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but you have to be able to speak Latin a little bit.
You can't speak it, really.
You just know?
Yeah, there's certain things. We took a trip to Italy 20 something years ago.
But you can get a cab. You could order food. I mean,
yeah, and there were certain things that I would see, and I would be able to sort of halfway translate it. I'd be like, oh, wait, that. But, I mean, you know, you're trying to recall from.
Yeah.
High school. Yeah.
Carpe diem.
Yes, he's the day, brother.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. When he came, I saw, conquered, and all those things.
E pluribus unum.
Yeah, one from many.
That's all. At least the only two I know.
Wow.
Mm. Okay, here we go.
I played in Greece once.
And, did you really?
And, you know,
in the Broadway?
Yes.
And you know.
Yes. What was your, who did you play?
No, I played as a professional basketball player in Greece.
Oh. You're thinking
I was like,
I thought you were a musical, me and Olivia
Newton-John.
I was ready for you to be like, yeah, I was the guy with the T-Birds, you know, collar up.
No, I played in Greece. Yes. Actually, I was lived in Athens.
We have got to find that film, Andy Kennedy in the Greece.
Boy, that what a big letdown for you. You thought we were really broken through.
I was the same way, Mark.
5 years together, Mark, I never brought that up. You were like, damn it, we're finally connecting.
Damn, AK's got so many layers. He was in Greece. That's amazing.
Me and Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, God.
That would have been good.
She was smoking hot.
But anyway, the whole point of that was I lived in Greece, and you know, the saying, that's Greek to me.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously difficult to understand. Right. You know why? Because we read left to right. They read right to left. Good luck with that one now. As you're driving down the road, no GPS, trying to figure out street signs as it reads right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Some U-turns happening by the old Kennedy kid.
Athens. Do they drive on the other side?
Oh, yeah. And read on the other side.
The other way. Everything's backwards.
Greek to me. Number 8.
Oh, boy.
Question number 9.
Done.
We're fine. How many total gifts are represented by the 12 days of Christmas? Is it A, 344, B, 354, C, 364, or D, 374?
I don't even understand the basis of that question. Read it again.
You know, like,
how many total gifts?
5 golden rings.
And you have to count mentions.
And you got to add it all together. And I think it's 364.
Mm, good guess. 354. I don't want to be a copycat.
You said 364. See, you said 354. Mark is correct. 364.
I think I've heard that one before. I think that's a some trivia that my aunt came up with at Christmas once, and I think, yeah.
All right, question.
What's the score?
Right now, let's see.
Am I going to fold in the second half again?
I think he's up by one.
I got off to
he's
a great start.
He's up by one right now.
Just one?
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm about to choke.
Yeah. So we're at the... We're like the under 4 timeout right now. Okay. Here we go.
I've used all my time.
I'm upset that I already am questioning myself on this next one. Go ahead.
AK, you should get this one.
Yes. Sir.
Question 10 of the movie Christmas Vacation. How many imported Italian twinkle lights does Clark use to light the house? And yes, he checked every bulb. Is it A, 10,000, B, 25,000, C, 50,000, or D, 100,000?
I got to marinate on it for just 1 second.
Okay.
Because the obvious answer would be the largest number, but 100,000 seems ridiculous, but I'm going 100,000.
That is a lot of lights, Coach.
Okay. You talked about test taking and just keeping it down the middle. Mm. That's why, again, I'm going to go C here.
You went 50,000.
50,000.
That's still too many.
Yeah, both of you are way incorrect. Off. It was actually 25,000.
Wow,
that was.
I used to picture that scene
as a kid. As a kid, right after
the auxiliary power gets turned on at the substation.
The nuclear. Right after auditions from Greece, I would come home and I liked the Price is Right. And I was actually pretty good at it, and that is a terrible. My mother would be so ashamed.
Yeah,
went way over. You never go over. Never give yourself no chance to win.
Never go over. The Showcase Showdown.
I'm not very good in The Price is Right. Bob Barker, he was great, though. The OG. Question number 11.
We should get name tags like The Price is Right. Remember how big those name tags? It was like this. Like your name tag, Andy.
Hermes.
Hermes.
It's
Hermes. It's Andy's alias, Hermes.
Yeah.
The world's tallest snowman. The Guinness Book of World Records, at 122 feet. That's 11 stories tall, 13 million pounds of snow, and a diameter of 125 feet was built in winter of 2008, and it melted July 30th of 2008. And this state, was it A, Maine, B, Vermont, C, Wisconsin, or D, Alaska?
Okay, I think Alaska is too obvious. So it's not Alaska.
Okay.
And then what I've been trying to think is, like, I'm trying to picture the folks, the good folks of any of these great states, and doing this. And I bet you there was a lot of beverages being consumed in order to, you know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
You know, how we're going to get together. And again, all three.
I don't want to influence your answer, but it seems like they do a lot of, like, kind of hokey stuff in Vermont. I don't know why.
They do, but I'm going to pick Wisconsin.
You're going Wisconsin. Coach?
I just said Maine.
Oh, that was my other choice. Please don't be Maine. Don't be Maine. Don't be Maine.
Got it.
It's Maine?
Yep.
That was my other choice.
Kennedy from the corner bottom.
I just thought it was the most. If you looked at it, you would say it can't be Maine. That would be the least likely. And sometimes you got to play that game.
No.
I thought it
could be Maine.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, this is funny, man. This is almost like a karma thing. I don't believe in luck. But you're a beer drinker, Mark? You drink beer? Sometimes. Do you like Guinness?
I don't.
See there?
I don't like dark beer. No. I like a good IPA now.
Dude, I was a Guinness. I played abroad for a number of years, and I got really educated on real beer, you know. And America's come a long way. Shout out to USA. Yeah. But back in the day, it was, you know, over in Europe, I played in Holland, I played in Belgium, I played in Germany. I've been a little bit of everywhere. And so I got into to dark beer. So I was on this Guinness thing for a long time. And then I just got off of it, you know, just different taste, boom, boom, boom. Bought some last week. Here we are back Guinness. Yeah. I think this is good. I think this is a good time. I feel like something's changing.
Something.
You know, but I hadn't had a Guinness in 10 years until.
How about this? I'm going to freak both of you out.
A few days ago.
Last night I woke up around 2:15 a.m., could not go back to sleep. So I put earbud in this year, had on pillow, went to random podcast. And it was one of those history podcasts, and it was about the Guinness family and the curse of the Guinness family.
I need to
do that.
Is
there such a thing?
Is there such a thing?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Wow. Hey, it's time to compete here. Can we?
Okay.
Come on. You're stalling.
It's tied. Right, it's tied or I'm up.
We're going to say it's tied.
Yep.
All right.
We're going to say it's tied?
I think you said you were up one, and I just.
You just got one, so we are tied.
Yeah, it's tied.
hammered one
he
in.
He says it's tied.
Bank shot from the corner. Yeah. Right. Off the top of the. Basket. Yeah.
Here we go. Question number 12. What holiday movie includes a cameo by President-elect Donald Trump?
Ooh, I know this one.
A, the Santa Claus, B, Scrooged, C, Home Alone 2, or D, Four Christmases. Four Christmases is a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Awesome movie if Scrooge. You haven't seen it. You say Scrooge.
I appreciate your confidence, Coach, but it is Home Alone 2.
Is it really?
Set in New York City.
Mark Ingram. With a two-handed jam. All right, so does that mean that Mark wins?
It means he wins.
Congratulations,
all day Mark. Long.
You What's have won your tickets favorite Christmas to the song? Broadway production of Grease.
Starring Andy Kennedy and Hermie. You got a favorite Christmas song? Marley doesn't have any Christmas music, so that's off.
I like all Christmas songs. I don't know. I don't really have a favorite off the top
of my head. You would like Jimmy Buffett, Christmas Island. That would be one that...
Would I?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you like reggae music, and it's close. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in that vein.
I'm kind of into classic,
Dominic the Donkey, stuff like that.
No, not that. Frosty the Snowman, not that. I mean, just like real Sinatra, you know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's what will be bellowing in our house.
My stepdad used to put the Elvis Christmas album every Christmas morning. And we still do it.
You go Dolly Parton, Hard Candy Christmas? What about that one?
I love some Dolly now. Mm.
Mariah Carey had the Merry Christmas songs all the time.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. Buble, he's really popular with some of the kids.
We were living in Philadelphia, and I got introduced to that song, Dominic the Donkey, and it is hysterical. It is the silliest, most hilarious song. You got to look that one
up.
We
had a guy at our...
Hey, after my next tough loss, usually you're hanging around out there trying to control
avoid
me.
You.
Yeah, pop that in, would you, as we're walking down the hall?
Okay. I'm going to hold you to it, Army.
Yeah, pop that in. It's a little chuckle.
Oh, I heard one of the best renditions of Feliz Navidad at our church service, and it was a guy that he was on the guitar.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And oh man, he killed it.
Yeah,
it's like I asked our pastor, I was like, did we hire him? Did we bring him in? He was like, no, he's a member of our church. Oops.
Oh,
sorry.
Good to see him again.
That's right. I have two different services, so apparently we just miss each other. All right, congratulations, Mark. On your
Thank
win,
you. Feel really good.
Another tough L. Boy, it's been a hard December for Coach Kennedy. Goodness gracious!
Do I get to go home with the little red hat? Is there anything that I get?
Yeah, you're going to get something.
Guinness.
You're going to get
parting gifts. We have parting gifts.
We have a fruitcake. We would like
just
to give
like
you.
Bob Barker used to give you a parting gift.
Mm.
You get a parting gift.
All right, Coach. Merry Christmas to you, your family,
Merry
your
Christmas
team,
to you.
And we will chat soon. Here's to wins.
Here's to wins.
And here's to Hermie.
Merry Christmas, Blazer Nation.
The Inferno Podcast. We continue.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Well, that's going to do it for this holiday edition of the Inferno Podcast. We appreciate you joining us. We appreciate head basketball coach Andy Kennedy, also UAB athletics director Mark Ingram, Molly Robinson for producing this podcast each and every week. Just remember, don't give in to the triple dog dare and try not to shoot your eye out. From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.